talk. Morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, June 26, 2018. It is 11 a.m. and we are assembled in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a joint meeting with the City of Grants Pass.
Hey. Good morning.
Let's go around the table and we'll just kind of introduce everybody. So, the microphone.
Okay, Valerie Lovelace, councilperson. Okay. Sorry.
Good morning. Aaron Kubik, City of Grants Pass.
Yep. Simon here, Josephine County Commissioner.
Lily Morgan, same.
Lily Morgan, Josephine County Commissioner. And we have
Bill Landis, Grants Pass Public Safety Chief.
And Jason Kennedy, Grants Pass Public Works Director.
We've got everybody on board. Okay. So, it's a lot that you start off with.
Okay, so we had a couple things. One thing that we were discussing at the last meeting was to have a discussion or get a map and start a discussion on roads within the city that are owned by either the county, the city, or the state. And so we do have a map that's printed up. Jason provided for us, and he's here also to talk. I don't know if that's going to go into a discussion of jurisdictional exchange and future agreements or whatever, but this will give you an idea, and I'm sure Jason can have a discussion about that. We also have the chief here. Wanted to have the chief present because we wanted to talk about services, sheriff for rendering, and just some concerns we have with regards to some partnerships with regards to some of the work that's being done by the city outside of the city limits,
okay.
And maybe needing some additional assistance from the county, and I'll have the chief talk about that also.
Okay.
So I don't know which one you want to hit first.
We'll start off with Jason Kennedy. Jason?
Yeah. So I just wanted to be able to provide a map. What we have done in our GIS system is we have tracked all of the county, state, and private roads. Anything that isn't one of those is the City of Grants Pass. So that's why you're only seeing the three colors. The purple, darker purple, is state, and anything that's orange is Josephine County, and the yellow is private. There's about 15 miles of Josephine County streets within the urban growth boundary. Within the City of Grants Pass. And so I know at the last jurisdictional exchange there was some concern over the fees as we look to do the new IGA for the existing, or the new UGB. We'll probably want to revisit that. Our current costs are running a couple hundred thousand dollars per mile for overlays, and we're basically transferring $9,000 per mile for 7 years. Let me qualify that though, which doesn't quite even get us close to an overlay. Costs. So,
well, we're not looking to do overlay. It's
we're looking at long-term maintenance of the road, correct? And so what we need
it's
is somewhere in between those, and
it's
it depends
a standard.
On what's that?
We're trying to achieve in the old IGA a standard, not a maintenance element. It's not like, that's what I see.
Okay.
I understand it. It's different than with ODOT, looking at taking over. We don't have a county standard that ODOT would need to bring that up to before we would take it over.
Gotcha.
That one is a long-term maintenance agreement. With yours, if we brought it up to city standards, we'd give it over to you and you wouldn't pay for it. We wouldn't pay you. It would just be an exchange.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so that's the hurdle. It's not a long-term maintenance. It's a standard.
Correct.
So just to clarify, just getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the 9,000 per mile is for the streets that are not meeting city standards.
Yes, to get them up to standard.
Correct. Well, but that doesn't even come close.
No,
to that.
But that's what you
yeah.
should be saying, not to
gotcha.
Maintain them over time, because that's not our.
Okay.
That is that 9,000 just to keep them at the level they are now?
No, that's to help offset the cost of bringing them up to city standards.
Correct.
Now the city has the option of doing that. You don't have to bring them up to city standards, and in that case, you would be applying that $9,000 per mile. To standard maintenance costs. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So it's
ultimately with a new agreement we'll be looking at, you know, trying to
yeah.
negotiate something more than $9,000 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I definitely hear you, and when Aaron and I had a chance to chat last week, I'm anxious to talk about this.
Yeah.
It's been
almost
two terms.
Yeah.
and I've, you know, dealing with that 96 is when that other IGA, I think it's old.
It's yeah. old.
It's way old.
Yeah.
But that's the rate. You know, if you
yeah.
want to talk
right.
about it, I think the board's happy to, but it has to be encompassed, I think, in the new IGA
correct.
That takes into the new UGB.
Yeah.
So.
And I did talk with Laura, and we're going to try and start working on that agreement in conjunction with it and concurrently with the TSP.
Yeah.
Because, like you and I talked,
right.
We said, well, why don't we just do it to where both documents can be completed basically at the same time.
I think that's wise, because if you complete a TSP that doesn't include a long-term plan of exchanging 15 miles, your TSP is going to be out of date the second that you make one of these transfers.
Correct.
And especially if we could just, you know, lop them off. Like, I know Fruitdale is a big portion of that, 15 miles of road.
It is.
And that's looking to try to, I don't want to intercede on behalf of the right hands on the public works, but you get that one done.
Yeah, that is pretty
and
big.
And you want a significant portion of your...
How long is that?
It's just over 2 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, and our goal is to get that funded through RV Act. The city has been a great partner in that effort. We were like number two on a list.
Yeah.
But the problem with RV Act is that the money, they're clear out to 2025. They don't have any money in the foreseeable future to do anything down here in Southern Oregon.
Bill passed,
but it was a fix-it bill. It was definitely nothing new.
Well,
it was very basic.
Issue. If you've driven on Fruitdale, it's a serious need to be fix-it issue.
There are lots of
fix-its.
But you know, we
that's a dominant fix-it issue. And
I think at the Act level, we made a mistake, and they took advantage of it. We took Fruitdale off the table, and we wanted to do from Williams Highway out past the golf course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was Williams Highway to the church.
To
yeah, that's
Highway.
What I mean.
We didn't want to do that.
But
then
it came back to the church, and then it ended up being the first 400 yards. And they just kept, you know, whatever they had the money for, didn't give us anything. By that time, we had taken a pretty substantial, a good chunk of Fruitdale off the table. And it never came back. They never came back.
Yeah.
So that's the sad part. And now you talk to them and they're all but, I almost don't even know why there's an Act, to be honest.
Well, we're not on the radar, it doesn't appear.
And we're not on the radar anywhere at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can improve on that. We just need to be, have our own priorities. And I mean, if I were to ask the group right now, what is that? Is it Fruitdale?
Commuter lane. Get that done.
My point of asking that question is, if I don't know, now I think it's the third lane too.
Yeah.
Why would they know?
Yep.
We need to put together joint resolutions of our bodies that say our number one priority in our petition to RV Act and ODOT is to get your infrastructure figured out. Quit dinking around with that little thing that they did at the extension of Fruitdale to 238, which it was an issue, but the priorities here.
It's just like they say the priorities. It's never, there's nothing else. They tell you, it's never hey, what's on your priority list? So I think you're right. I think we need to come together and tell them.
We need a priority list to take that to the Act. But I think the Act is all but, they don't have any strength anymore because there's no money.
There's no money.
That's true.
You've got to go right to ODOT and continue to hammer them.
I would say that there are resources. We just need to push harder.
We've
been left out.
Well, and in theory, 2017, HB 2017 should help that.
Yeah.
They're going to be generating quite a bit more revenue.
Right.
So how do we have this conversation going forward and structuring what our priorities are? I mean, if you take Fruitdale off at about 2.5 miles, it's probably approaching closer to 3.
Fruitdale? It's 11,800 feet from intersection to intersection. So
each lane?
No.
Oh, 11,000.
11,000.
Yes.
So that's not counting.
Two miles. Times two.
Yeah.
What's our priorities? I mean, we just need to sit down at some point and go through each of them and say, we're not bringing Beacon up to. You guys are probably not bringing Beacon up to. It doesn't fit within the current formula of saying, hey, here it is for this.
I will stand up, and you know me in that street. My priority on that street is the fact that we've had a park up there, and we can do nothing with that piece of land until there is some infrastructure put up on Beacon. So that too becomes a priority when you look at it.
Transportation infrastructure, like sidewalks?
Well, road. You have to up the road. Beacon is. If you're going to put a park up there and you're going to...
Is that the one next to the freeway?
Yes.
On Hillcrest?
Yes. Right.
So then it would be an arterial or connector? What would you...
I think Beacon, we're going to have to look at a modified street profile for that one, because there's no way that you're going to fit the
standard. You're already at people's
front
doors.
And we know it has to be modified. I'm not discounting that.
And as an example, the lessons that we learned over on Allen Creek, we're applying to Willow Lane as we're taking Willow Lane's design forward, where we're looking at a modified street design that shortens up the road width, but still allows for, you know, a little bit of on-street parking, a little bit of multimodal, narrows up the landscape strips or eliminates them as we can kind of jog through there without having to acquire massive amounts of right-of-way to bring that up to our full standard.
Well, unfortunately, the strips are just turning into weed patches.
We're working on bringing that standard up. We've consolidated all of our maintenance activities under one department now, but unfortunately, a lot of them didn't get water, and so we're having to reevaluate that.
So why require something that's not?
So
breaking this up into some sort of achievable thing, you can put in an IGA. Like, there's three buckets of the 15 miles of roads, and one is that modified design, and then the others are probably standard design, which the full threshold of the county jurisdictional exchange should apply. And then another bucket is like a Fruitdale, to where we're just going to have it brought up by other means to city standards and then turn it over to you. That would be what I would start with. I see those three buckets. And I think Rob and I have been talking about this for like 8 years, about what does it look like. And putting each of those in some sort of expected bucket, and then codifying that in an IGA and moving forward with the expectation that when resources come along, we're going to get out of it. The city...
You're just asking for both entities to come to an agreement as to what it's going to look like on the backside.
Yeah.
Right now, you may have an idea what Beacon's supposed to look like, and we're saying we can't do that. I think it's getting everybody on the same page as to what is it going to look like on the backside.
Yeah, expectations.
As far as South Y, if we are going to do joint resolutions or go that route to put it as a priority, I mean, we should get it on our calendars, but I would suggest that you look at trying to ask them. They can eliminate the northbound lane coming off of Williams Highway. Why does anybody need to come back down the South Y by Barmart to curve back around the bottom of the triangle? Any more, they can go underneath, take a left on the park and come back up, or they can turn right to get on Rogue River Highway. It's just for five businesses there that they can go around for.
You go ahead and suggest that to those five businesses that are hanging on by a thread and see how they come out about it. Who knows?
As often as I'm out there, I don't see people coming down that strip, though, often.
It would be interesting to get a traffic counter out there to see actually how much traffic goes on.
But if it weren't there, you could have that be one of the straight lanes out, a second straight lane out to Williams, and then you can have two turn lanes, one that's going straight out the highway, the other one's at the dedicated third lane, and you can actually get, as soon as you get over the bridge, traffic stopped all the way back to the bridge anyhow for that turn lane. You need a second turn lane to get out towards Redwood Highway.
If you had the third lane, start out with that commuter lane on the right-hand side, it wouldn't have a traffic jam getting onto the parkway, onto Redwood Highway, because those people are going to stay in that lane and just keep on going. Where the jam up now is, they come around the corner and they need to merge into the right-hand lane, and they can't do that. So if they could just keep going and they could merge in anywhere between then and Redwood Avenue, that would just stretch that out. I think that would cure a lot of that right-hand stuff.
And am I correct in assuming there is room that has been, that's...
Yeah.
They've got the right-of-way out there on both sides.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
they're coming in from Red Robin Inn.
I think that makes a lot of sense and would really put on RVX and ODOT's radar that this is a major priority for the city and the county. Got to do something.
I agree.
Employing a lobbyist, whatever it takes.
And I don't know, I'll just say this, but it's almost they don't want to take it, the low-hanging fruit, and fix it in any way, because they want it to continue to be an absolute traffic snarl out there so that you get somebody's attention. If you just kind of fix it with an easy-going deal, then they'd say, well, gee, what are we going to do about that now?
I totally agree, Commissioner DeYoung, but I also see this integrating into whatever long-term plan they have.
Yes, their long-term plan is so far out for South Y, but we need something now, and maybe that's the tourniquet.
It's easy.
Yes.
It's easy, and it's a tourniquet for right now, so a bandage.
Well, is that kind of what you wanted to talk about
Yeah, I mean, we just wanted to kind of lay out a couple general plans as we're moving forward with the IGA. I agree with the concept of tying it to the TSP update.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a good nexus. I know Rob and I have been talking about this South Y issue for quite a while and the commuter lanes. It was really ODOT who came to us originally and suggested it,
yes.
And then they're the ones that dropped it.
Yes.
As soon as they got everybody
excited.
It reminds
me of that Transformers movie where they made it too expensive to go back to the moon or something like that. That's what these people did. ODOT just said it was $12.5 million.
Yeah.
Sorry, we can't afford it.
I don't think
that's 10% good. Of the entire 62 bypass was a buck and a quarter.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
And 10% to do land, and they had land acquisition out there like
yeah,
you couldn't
exactly.
believe.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. I brought that up at the Middle Rogue MPO with Mike Baker.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your numbers aren't crunching, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go back. We want a legitimate scope.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate.
So the only other issue we may want to talk about briefly is Allen Creek Road. And that is that we've got updated quotes on right-of-way acquisition and final design, and they're well in excess of any of the funds that have been put away, and ODOT is coming to us asking us where we're going to come up with the extra funding.
Can we take Allen Creek Road and convince ODOT to put it into the third lane?
I can't answer that question. I would like to think yes, but it may take much higher up the food chain like yourself to kind of lean on it, because I think that money came through
food
the
chain.
Act as well.
We're not going to let that money leave Josephine County.
No,
no
we need
no,
to make
no.
sure it stays. Right now, I've been told we can get out of the project for about $230,000, which is the work that's been done to
okay.
date. So that's
reasonable.
That's
actually.
Reasonable to be able to walk away. Our plan would be
yeah.
we would then complete the design in-house, and as development occurs, we would then acquire the right of way to go along with that,
okay.
and allow development to drive the improvement to Allen Creek Road.
Yes, I like it.
Which,
so
yeah,
that means
better.
About
yes.
720 of the 950 that was dedicated to Allen Creek, and there should be substantial resources there to do design on. I mean, that's the other thing in our resolution. We need to write this resolution with the intent of achieving multiple outcomes, redistributing the money dedicated to Josephine County for 2012. I think it was 12.
It's been a long time ago.
It was before that.
I took office
back.
In 11 or 12.
But it was already in the Plan A. It got redistributed probably around there to the exit
yeah.
61.
We
and
brought
the,
it back.
Yeah.
When
mm-hmm.
I
they did.
Off,
they,
so
when
yeah.
we shot, when we rejected our alternative A, then we had to go over to the Act. And
yeah, it was about a year later.
That
so
was about a year
that's
later.
When that
so it was probably about 12
happened.
Or 13.
Anyway, we just want to make sure that those
yeah.
funds remain and that it's dedicated to the. To that project.
I think there's more value in that commuter lane than
oh,
Allen
mm-hmm.
Creek by a long shot. You
yeah.
can justify
yes.
that with the Act
yeah.
because that's what that was for, was to get traffic off of.
It's solving the problem they couldn't solve.
Exactly.
Because I believe it was mostly modernization funds that were in there, so I think that they would apply. You know, we can't transfer the CMAQ funds to it, but. Okay, so we can
I
work on
like
that.
The challenge that CMAQ would be, I mean,
it seems
mitigation.
Like yeah.
you think it's right
if
in that
not,
wheelhouse.
If you're eliminating congestion, it might.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
that's
what
it does.
I wouldn't give up on CMAQ.
I think
funds.
We could.
It's
yeah.
eliminating congestion, though.
That's
I've been stuck
yeah.
there 20 minutes
oh,
from
yeah.
the bridge to.
Yeah.
I think the MPO has like 4 and change in their coffers.
We've just allocated some of that to some additional sidewalk work. But yeah, there's probably an additional 2.
I don't see a lot of congestion on sidewalks. I'll just be blunt about that.
Well, it has to do with transit, getting them to the bus stop.
Okay, I wondered the same thing.
That left-hand turn lane going on the parkway into the Winco, that whole deal. There's room for 3 cars to get through that stupid left-hand turn lane.
Yeah.
And not enough. It just, but other than that, the South Y, that is the priority. Commissioner DeYoung has an issue with the off-ramps, and that's a real priority. So in this resolution, I think the petition to ODOT might also include improving, and he's got a series of pictures he's going to provide. So if we could have like a appendix element to the resolution.
Like we need
to
put together a PowerPoint.
To reference a series of pictures of neighboring counties, off-ramps and their landscaping and design,
okay.
and how we're getting the short end of the stick. If you go the whole state, I-5, everybody, Woodburn's gotten improvements, and Albany's is still terrible, but
We've got one of the worst.
Yeah.
We do, really do.
One of the worst.
It's like Scottsdale, Arizona, on one side of the freeway is just all brand new and modern and palm trees and everything. And you go underneath the freeway and Mesa's over here and you go, what? Am I on the same planet? And it's the same way we have here. It's just, but I'm putting together, I guess it'll be a presentation, pictorial, and just our concerns. Does this look like something you'd like?
Well, and the mayor brought up yesterday at the council meeting, you know, should the city take over those slots? And quite frankly, I think it's further evidence of ODOT not doing their job. And so I'd rather us, at our AOC meeting last month, the governor's got a brand new transportation policy advisor. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, how do you get our local guys to return phone calls? Because they just don't like to return emails or phone calls. And he said, we'll stop that. Gave me his card. And so
well, let's be clear, the local ODOT people, they call you right back. It's the regional ODOT people. It's regional.
It shouldn't be at any level.
Well, what I don't want to do is have a regional problem translate into a good relationship with our local guys.
Okay.
So our local people, George and Russ, they're great. It's the regional people that look to someplace else. They don't see this as a regional issue.
Once I get my pictures all set up, I want to make an appointment with the local guys out here.
Yes.
And just say, there's got to be, you know, what is there something getting in your way that we can help you with? Because maybe it may be coming from
somewhere.
Art
I'm
Anderson's
sure it's
office.
It's not their decision.
It's not their decision, but how?
Right?
How? Yeah, but you know, why can't you do this? Well, because of, and then we work on that. Keep the local people on our side.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Key. So those were my primary issues.
Great.
We can work on all of those, I think.
Okay. I just have a question because I've kind of been out of the loop. But did they have a staging area? Did they decide on a staging area for the on-ramps? I mean, just repaving this summer, aren't they repaving between Rogue River and Grants Pass?
Yeah, I think it's out there.
Is it on?
Same location.
It is.
I think it's out there in Spalding, isn't
okay.
it? Where they did the climbing lanes, the same place they did the climbing
okay.
lane?
Yeah. Okay, because I had heard that that's what they were doing, and then I didn't hear it was finalized. So that's what I was...
I want to know if they finalized the route.
They did.
Yeah, that's
They're
what I was
actually taking Agnes, and the reason is F Street will disintegrate if we put them onto F Street, like they did the last
Agnes
time.
Is already
Agnes
such
is a
bumpy
mess.
Crazy.
It is bumpy.
Both sides, though, actually.
Yes.
That was their preferred route.
Yeah.
And ODOT said, we don't care, which was unusual, because last time they were the ones that required them to go around.
Okay.
And they basically said, you guys choose the route to us. And we're like, well, okay. We went out and looked, but
the problem is if you're trying to keep it up, they only have to keep it to a current standard. The current standard is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well,
like, why wouldn't
would
you want to be,
yeah.
I'll drive down a gravelly potholed road every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, those potholes were here when I got here.
And the other thing that changed, there was some property that changed hands over here, and so where they had gone onto like a dirt road or something to get through industry, they couldn't get access to that anymore. Mm. So the other road that made sense was just coming around Agnes, actually I'm in the wrong place, but down around there. So that's been finalized.
Will they repave the road when they get done?
If they damage it. So we've done videotape and photography, and then we'll walk it immediately after the project before they demob the pavement plant this time.
In my mind, I think we need to take Foothill and where it goes to Moon Mountain, they are dead even with the freeway, make a construction on-ramp right there and leave the rest of it alone.
Interesting.
Just put a construction on-ramp, they go right down Amet Road, right up over the mountain and onto the freeway. They take the other route back, but at least, I mean, it'd take them a day with an 8 and they would have a construction on-ramp. Only for construction off of whatever Moon Mountain Road is or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw a rock across
I
there.
I know, it's pretty close.
But that's me.
When do you guys think we could work together to get a draft resolution for the council?
Well, would you want to have it looked at here next month, or would you want to do it before that?
I think I want to do it before. I think the summertime is when ODOT typically looks at their
yes,
year's
July
plan
is have
stuff,
they have a meeting
so
July.
It just seems
and
like
then they
the
go three more months until they do another one.
So
seems to
I just don't want to be outside of their planning thing for next year. I mean, let's
right.
just be honest.
I agree.
It should be a top priority.
They're planning
next
for 2025.
Well, we've got a meeting July 18th, and we have a meeting August 1st.
Let's do it. Let's shoot for July 18th, and if we have to, it'll be August 1st.
So we'll try and draft something within the next week or two so we can...
Yeah, I think it could be short. It doesn't have to be long.
Okay.
But I think we've got enough to talk about.
This is for the resolution for RBAC, right? About
it's,
the two
yeah,
redistributing
I think
the money.
We'd send it to ODOT and we'd CC RB Act. Okay. I think we've all agreed that RB Act is, there's not a lot of plowed ground
okay.
there. ODOT just needs to be made aware that this is a serious issue for
and so the
our top priority.
The resolution is for the third lane being a major issue to address, along with the redistribution of some Allen Creek funding and the consideration of CMAC funds due to congestion. And what else?
The off-ramps.
The off-ramps.
The off-ramps.
Okay. Landscaping design.
Fruitdale in
oh,
there
yeah,
somewhere?
Improving interchange areas. Got it.
Fruitdale
or
in there
or
somewhere?
Or is that a different one?
Fruitdale, we're not, that's not part of this one, is
that
it?
One?
No.
I don't know.
That was, well, that was a, that's when we had the discussion about prioritizing the between the city and the county. It
yeah,
didn't necessarily affect ODOT.
I think if we do that, that'll lead into a prioritization for ODOT. You know, look, we've got 15 miles of roads and 2 miles of that to interchange. Is our top priority for jurisdictional. We don't want to say jurisdictional exchange is our motivation. It's the, because that they don't care about that.
Just
they don't care who owns it. It's just, it's the proximity to schools, the thoroughfare that's an alternate for people accessing Redwood Rogue River Highway. I mean, that's what it is. It's people who are coming off 238
back onto Red Rogue River
jumping
Highway.
Down. They miss all of those, you know, congested intersections. And then they pop over to the Rogue River Highway 10 minutes ahead of whoever went through that intersection. So it's alleviating
yeah.
stuff on
there. That they'll look at.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to look at.
Mm-hmm. And going through neighborhoods and stuff, it should be a better, safer thoroughfare.
There's a park out there, schools out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that stuff, I think, will go a long ways. But that's a... That's the next one.
But that's a different one, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a different one than the first one that will come before us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we're done with Public Works.
So.
And Jason, I did
that's
cut you off earlier. I just want
to
apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off and be rude, so I apologize.
I wonder if your guys' pleasure.
Challenge with those. Gosh, you guys can just talk about that.
Polite today.
And if you can't work out a solution, bring it back to the board.
What's that?
Whatever the law enforcement public
oh, uh-huh.
safety issue is,
yeah.
If you guys could just maybe, he's the liaison to that.
Just talk with Dan about
just
it.
Just talk with Dan about it. If you can't, you know, bring the sheriff in. It'd be one of those things.
Yeah.
If you want a solution and all roads lead to his office, I'd like to have him here ideally. I don't.
Yeah.
Need
I did. He does know I'm here speaking, and it
cool.
is a money issue, and so.
Oh.
That, so
okay. Well.
Here.
Yeah. That's fine. Then
well,
maybe it is appropriate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Want to bring it up?
Yes.
Sure.
Sure.
Come on up.
Yes. Just an update too. Last time I was here, I think we talked about HIDA, and certainly
yeah.
that is finally with the RAID board moving forward, and so hopefully we'll have an acceptance and
yeah.
participant as a high intensity drug traffic area, so that would be beneficial. Yeah, some of the kind of the state of the union with criminal justice and our agency and how affected, and I know some of the things that are being looked at is the grant application for marijuana and the sheriff to look at those things. But at the same time, you know, I think sometimes there's a perception with the public that our criminal justice system is not whole again because the county levy passed. And so the major crime teams, both between Oregon State Police and Grants Pass Public Safety, really still do countywide those major crime call-outs when something goes beyond just the initial responses. And OSP currently has their challenges. I mean, they're having some significant retirements. I think they're about 60 positions down statewide in key areas, and filling those has been problematic. And so I know that talking with their administration, they are not going to have supervisors responding out during those early morning hours, what they used to do. And so I think they're looking at September 1st as a cease as far as those type of responses. They're getting to fill positions with their major crime team. They had a supervisor that retired out, and so filling that and moving some pieces around to make that whole. But I think where I'm at, so between the narcotics task force and countywide effort in that area where we've made significant strides as far as meth and heroin, I mean, really, numbers are just staggering as far as what has happened there. And then with the major crime teams, just wanting to appeal to you to look at, through the sheriff, maybe seeing in the future if some of those positions that would help with investigations, both on raid as well as with major crime call-outs, since we then basically have those going on out in the county as well as our own, and so sometimes we put things aside to satisfy that. And I do know, talking with, you know, the public, sometimes there's that perception that everything's great, and yet they don't see kind of how those resources actually get allocated differently than we typically would, as well as those early morning hours. And so I know the marijuana is a different thing, and I certainly wouldn't want to see them try to do two things, i.e. try to have that doing meth and heroin at the same time, because that's where we got into trouble with raid in the past, and really focusing hard on meth and heroin and property crime that actually is where we see the biggest impact of those two types of drugs. And so significant decreases in property crime as a result of how we've hit the meth and heroin trade. And so with whatever is going to happen with those grant positions, I'm in support of, just want to make sure that, you know, RAID does its thing, and any assistance and future monies and staffing as far as major crime and or, you know, the task force, so that those other things that are foundational and very important to that team concept, I guess you could say. And my biggest fear is OSP is not going to be what they were. I don't know how long that will last, but certainly I know it may be a change also in their policy, regardless of those positions as they get filled coming back and what they've been able to do in the past.
I would suggest that they not splash it all over the front of the paper that as of September 1st, you know, because then we're just opening up the ball again to the reason why we got hit so hard on Measure 91 is because we didn't have any law enforcement in Southern Oregon.
Well, and the only thing I'd say is that while I know sometimes how we address that is significant, I think the reality is that that is the reality. And so we don't have what we need to have. And so those things that happen, the public perception is that we have what we need. And so it isn't, and we don't. And those hours, I mean, basically what will happen is it's not going to change things. The sheriff obviously will have to suit up and address those things if OSP isn't. So you're not going to see a change that way. But then that burden, you know, on the sheriff's department that doesn't have what they need to basically be able to do that. And so this is ahead of the curve to say, hey, here's the
start
reality. And so what are we in June that we can do to look ahead to the fall, and or just the, you know, criminal justice response in this county and how we kind of look at it with what we have today.
Isn't
so I don't
a
know
structural thing that LIFSIC should be putting together a prioritization and a proposal for funding, I suppose.
Well, maybe. I think sometimes, so this would be with the sheriff and the commissioners and what you felt could happen, and, you know, SRS funds and whatever the current situation is, the grant positions that are being looked at with the marijuana team.
Yeah, see, those are totally separate. That's like taking in, that's like a levy.
I totally agree.
It's not even part of the conversation other than the administrative capacity to help offset some of the other things. So I'm happy to talk about the structure stuff, but I don't know, I'm not an expert in like what those other things are. And so you talked about the balance of compensation or buy-in funding for those other special programs. And I don't know what those are. I don't know that the city's putting in X,
or the elevator.
State's putting in Y. You know, what are those funding components? And we're not putting in anything. So if you wanted to be a partner in this effort, you need to be contributing X. I don't know. I have not delved into that, and to say, you know, come to the board and say, hey, we need 500K to do something that's commiserate with everybody else's contribution in this effort to maintain the meth and heroin, to not have that be a sidetracked issue. Yeah, you're focused on marijuana over here, but do you know this is a huge issue that you still are not contributing your fair share, so to speak.
Right.
What is that delta? I don't know.
And that's why LIPSIC really isn't, because really in 2012, it's really not the judges and the courts or the DA or whatever and stuff. It's really those between Oregon State Police, the Sheriff's Department, and ourselves, and how those responses to the enforcement effort is really what we're talking about. And the reason I brought up the marijuana, I agree with you that that's just a grant that's I don't want to see it morphed either, because really that isn't going to
help.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
So that's a separate issue, and just one, that's why I'm bringing that up.
I don't think it's good at keeping those funds where they're supposed to go exactly that,
yeah.
Corrections or whatever, trying to keep them as much in their silo.
But we haven't decided on SRS funds and what to do with that yet. I know that staff has talked with the DA and the sheriff and juvenile as far as where the needs are, what kind of recommendations are going to be bringing it back to us. The only ask the sheriff has made up till this point was actually a marijuana enforcement team. Then he came back and said, oh, there's a marijuana grant. Never mind. But he hasn't himself said, you know, I need to have two detectives for a major crimes contribution, or I need a detective for a raid contribution. He hasn't proposed that to us. And so that would be something that I think would be appropriate for him to be.
I think that's what the ask is today.
But he needs to be the one to ask that. He hasn't asked that. He asked for a marijuana enforcement team.
Sure.
And so, you know, with the SRS funds. So then the grant was going to be, the rules are being written. So for the sheriff, he has not weighed in on and said, I want to contribute to major crimes. I want to contribute to raid.
And I understand that. And so I did reach out to him. I don't know what his schedule was about being here. I just told him we were having this meeting and that my concerns about, you know, where we're at and what things look like, especially heading down the tracks to this fall. And so just having the dialogue opened up right now, just to bring it to the attention of what and what maybe he will be approaching with, so that in a vacuum you don't say, well, where's that request now coming from?
No, it makes perfect sense.
So
that's a good heads up here. That's good stuff.
But it's a little premature, but Commissioner DeYoung needs to sit down with the sheriff.
And I didn't want to come in September and say.
No.
But
the sheriff sent us an email about September months ago when he got the heads up from OSP, and he said he went back to him and said, give me till September. He sent us an email several months ago about that.
Yeah.
But it is a matter of he has to weigh in on what his ask is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all would have opinions about what we may think, but without him weighing in on it himself.
I hope that is what the case. I just wanted you to hear the larger picture from those task forces, such as the major crime teams, the raid task force, conversation with OSP that goes beyond just what happens in September with them specific to that piece and what their challenges are currently and maybe a
policy change. And how we're
going
to fill in.
Sounds important.
Yeah. So I think there's more to come from them as far as what happens, but for now this is just that open dialogue to say, hey, we need to make sure we're looking at the big picture and what happens.
I hear the train.
Okay. Well, good.
Toot.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else on that subject here?
Do you guys have progress, a report on your potential relocation to your office?
Best guess right now, we're finishing the design work and stuff, so we're looking at summer of 19. I think we'll know more when the design piece is completed.
Mm-hmm.
We get back before council, I think, on August 1st to give them an update where I'll have some more information.
Great.
And that then, I think, allow us to go out for the, mm-hmm. the bid for the
mm-hmm.
construction. And then that timeline can be shored up, and so we'd have more. So, but yeah, it's moving. We're just obviously with the retrofit, with the design stuff, trying to make it all fit. And of course, I think we started this in 2015, and so costs of 2015 versus 2018 or 19. So, but yeah, that's where we are.
On the going back to the last subject, we're right now crafting a letter to go, it's actually a question to go on to the November ballot. It's an exploratory question regarding the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative, which could answer a lot of questions. If it does, it's going to be basically saying that if the legislature were to pass the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative and came back to the vote, would you support it? And we're hoping to get it in all five counties. I'm drafting a letter right now and send it out to all five counties that are involved in the Southern Oregon PAT, see if they will put it on their respective ballots for the November election. Basically, I think it's my anticipation is that it would come back in the five counties, four out of the five counties had probably a 75-25 in favor of, yes, I would support having marijuana producers pay into the system for law enforcement trust fund, for a law with the money going into a law enforcement trust fund.
Okay.
And go from there. That my initial, just using the numbers that came through from planning, means somewhere in the neighborhood, using the numbers I came up with, somewhere in the neighborhood locally for about $7 million.
Wow.
So that's significant. If we can get that through, what I would like to see is rather than being harpooned like we were last time with certain people saying that there was no interest in Southern Oregon and no support for this in Southern Oregon, and resonating that through all the other legislators who just didn't read the memo but just did a, I'm at the water cooler, hey, what do you think about this? It's your district, what do you think? Oh, there's no interest down there, I won't be interested in it until the so-and-so time. They go, okay, fine, I'll just vote no, I'm not interested, I'll bring it to the floor or to committee. And I want to make sure that before going into the next session, that when the question is asked, we will already have the results and the interest that is spiked in Southern Oregon to get this thing fixed. And basically, you're putting it to the voter and getting the voters, the voter support before you even take it to the legislature. Now, it would be hard for them to say there is no interest in Southern Oregon in fixing and allowing our five counties to basically tax the processing of marijuana.
That sounds amazing. Even no matter what the vote comes out, the coordination between the five counties is telling the state something.
Yes. Yeah. I'm hoping we can get that. I'm pretty sure I've got everybody on board. A little question up in Douglas, but I don't think they're entirely opposed to it, but it's going to take a lot of. Commissioner Hare is very well acquainted with the two commissioners that are up there. So, but that's where we're at on that. I'm optimistic. I'll never be unoptimistic about it because I think it's a good idea and it seemed to be get good support, you know, from a lot of people. So that's where we're at.
I wanted to make one other comment about the sheriff. So I know the sheriff's had his hands full, obviously getting staff up to increase the jail capacity as well as get some patrol folks and stuff. So
we were 169 yesterday.
Yes, and I think his cap's now at 165. So
his cap's at 185.
Yeah, did he go 185?
Last year we went to 185. His staffing is.
No, I know.
Yeah. But the cap.
I'm just talking reality. I know that what was going to be. Yeah. So I know that's been part of him not getting to look at that other picture that I'm bringing to you. And so we've had those discussions, but just wanted you to know because there is a financial impact to doing anything that would bring that in. And so I didn't want to make it like he's not obviously aware. So that's why we've had
just a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Is it just me, or does it seem like the level of crime and the severity of crime and things like that is going up? Like, how often? I mean, we haven't had a car go off a Hell's Gate in how long? At the same time, we got a guy drowned down at Robertson Bridge on a jet ski. I mean, is it? And then we had a road rage shooting and stuff like. Is it just? Is this whole thing just getting? Is it society? What is it?
You know, I would just say when we look at crime stats right now and stuff, and I always use 2012 for me was such a bad year looking at what happened with the jail and the criminal justice stuff. And, you know, every year we're trying to make improvements and stuff. And I think we still have those high profile, remarkable things that happen. And it could be a UCC thing, it can be whatever. And
yeah, it's not reflective.
But when you look at actual numbers and stuff, I mean, things are actually, you know, good. This is the first year we completed where we had a downturn in auto theft.
Right.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened in probably 15 years. And really proportional to meth and heroin. And when you start to impact that, I think with some of the programs that's happened with the reinvestment funds, jail issues, getting more people maybe into drug court or treatment programs, things that are alternatives to that. We had 780 admits to the serving center last year. Prior to the serving center, we used to look at criminal justice, disorderly conduct, trespass, other ways to do. And so all those pieces have created some things. In the city last year, I think 56% downturn in burglaries. And, you know, I mean, we had over 600 burglaries in the city of Grants Pass in 2012. And in 2017, we were less than half that, under 300 burglaries. So
those are good things, then.
So the remarkable things in the press lead us sometimes to, you know, stop and have caution. But I think sometimes the numbers really.
And Chief, you wander around with these stats in your head, and without like a press release or something of an article about it, it's hard to capture. It would be really positive, I think, next month for Lipsick to put together like a stat sheet from Community Corrections, the Sobering Center, your office, the Sheriff's Office, some other things that are positive statistical improvement trajectory stuff that would just captures. That's what all this effort's been.
Right.
You know, pushed forward for. That's why you supported the levy that funded the shelter, the detention facility and the jail.
and it's making a difference.
Oh, they created partnerships. I mean, yeah. The public-private partnerships that created
Parts
all
with
these
the mission that
mobile kitchens. Yeah. You know, there's just been so much, and all of that stuff really has led to where.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you right now, this spring compared to many others, there's a different feel when you walk out in downtown and different things. And every year, that's kind of the barometer. It's not just the data.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really what you feel like when you're down there on special events, or you're down there on a weekend, going to Dash Bakery or Don's Bike Shop or something, or eating out on one of the sidewalk cafes. That has a impact as well.
I think our special events have kind of taken this town, taken it back. We've got a lot of things going on here that they don't have. We were, in fact, Colleen and I were talking about it the other day, Colleen Padilla, and I said, you know, here we are, little old Grants Pass. We're the event capital of Southern Oregon. We're the entertainment committee for 230,000 people just right on the other side of Blackwell Hill. We can really, that's our audience. You know, you can put a drag strip out in the middle of nowhere, but you've got to pull spectators from somewhere.
Yes.
And that's our spectator base.
I think that balloon festival kind of leads into that. I have to admit that I was not necessarily a believer when it first started out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really sure how it played into everything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't critical necessarily, but I thought, yeah, that's really great, but who cares about that? I was mentioning to Aaron before the meeting, when you see those pictures of Josephine County, Grants Pass, and you know the Lower River area with a balloon over it, you look at it in a different way. Like it's somewhere to be.
Pretty.
It's worth its weight in gold, in my opinion, of a billboard somewhere with, you know, the balloons over wherever.
It's better than wine country.
I'd rather be late to the party than not show up at all. And so I know that the organizers are working on what's next year going to look like. But it needs to be the signature thing for Southern Oregon that people really are exposed to. And the sooner you get established, it's that much harder for somebody else to go and try to recreate. Oh no, they already do that in Grants Pass, so they're not going to go try to do it here. I want to contribute out of economic development funds from the county's perspective to do that in this next year. And I think one of the things that I've seen about contributions is they build on each other, they're leveraged. So when they go to All Care or somebody else, they say, did you know that the county contributed X?
It creates an interest in more than just that one entity. Well, it creates an interest. Oh, they're in?
Yes.
It's just like
and
you,
I think that's
you
a great partnership with the county and the city, because it is held out there in the county, and yet, I mean, I think that's
it's
a great.
It's on city property.
On city property.
Just,
but I'm just saying,
it's a great,
but it's drawing us together.
All of a sudden, there's interest. It's just like when I worked at a gas station, and my boss used to tell me there'd be no cars anywhere. He said, go out there and take your car, put it on the outside pump block, and put the nozzle in the taillight. Because I don't need any gas. He goes, just go do it and see what happens. And boy, here they come.
And then
they come. That, I mean, that's it. And I go, where'd you learn that? He goes, stay there.
Stuck on.
This
stuck
is
on a pond.
Power
policy.
Suggestion.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuck on a pond.
Decoys.
And you forget, we used to have Boat Neck, and then we'd have a month between that and Back to the 50s.
Yeah,
now
we don't.
Porch Fest, Balloon Fest.
There's a car show the very next weekend.
There's
a car show
downtown
by the 541 Outlaws, or whatever they call themselves. Now I go, you're right after Boat Neck. What do you think you're doing? And it's a huge success. It's just something else.
Yes. Well, what you've created is every weekend you can almost think something is going on.
Something's going on.
People are starting to pay attention to
and
that.
And we have 230,000 people, spectators, right across the hill over here that just seem to want to ignore us.
Is there a challenge the board could pose to the city to say, you know, if we contribute X number of dollars, I'm just going to say five, which is certainly reasonable considering our economic development fund, that the city would be receptive to matching something of that? What I'm looking for is advertising.
I don't want to
do it to people who we already know. I want to bring people in from over Blackwell Hill that are having lunch and dinner here, you know, maybe even staying the night, that sort of stuff. The traded sector tourism activities, that's my goal, is that we really advertise this thing well outside of just our little...
It's the thing about Balloon Fest and the Kite Festival is it's over a 2 or 3 day period. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to bring somebody. I just went to Klamath Falls. I spent Friday and Saturday night at Shiloh Inn there. Mm-hmm. We ate. We participated in you know, everything that they did in town, so on and so forth. That's 100 miles away, but because it was a 2 or 3 day event, just like Back to the 50s, 2 or 3 days, and people come here. They start here. They get here on Wednesday because they want to miss the diner tour on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's just something like that. You know, the first Widowmaker that they had maybe 500 spectators. The last one I went to, 50,000 spectators. Mm-hmm. It takes time to build that up.
Yeah.
they were hauling the money away because it was before credit cards and you didn't swipe everything, it was all in cash. And they had a helicopter going from that hill climb out by the prison to the bank. I says, what is that helicopter keep going by? It says, taking money to the bank, cash.
So what are you guys thinking about
crazy
support for the Bloom Fest?
For the Bloom Fest, we've provided $10,000 in the past 2 years for the event.
That was good.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, if we put five in, you think you could match that? I went, this is not going to work out.
I wasn't saying one to one. Our dollars are a little different.
Well,
than
I will
yours.
Tell
you may want to rephrase that.
As a city councilor, because it has been kind of iffy, and you know, with the city council kind of going, I don't know if we should be doing that. I think it would be a plus for the county to step forward and say, hey, we see that. This is a real positive.
Yeah.
We see it coming from somewhere. So from
city
councilor.
You're going
to
have to convince those.
Right? So, of course, you're hearing over there talking five. I went, this isn't going to work out.
I'm just frugal.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of money for me. $5,000.
Well, I certainly understand why.
We're in the fiscal shape we're in because
we're frugal. I get it. We know where you're coming
five.
From.
No, I think he was throwing the concept out there.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Caleb and...
But I do feel good about five.
Caleb is going to be requesting $5,000 from the city here in the next month. And so it's going to go down from 10 to 5. So anything that the county would provide, I'm sure he'd be very happy to have.
Well, that's
that would be
for us
that
to
would
go
be,
to 10.
Hey, that's newsworthy.
If we went to 10, would you go to 10?
That's newsworthy, though. That's newsworthy that we're going to pick up the slack.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. But I don't feel like, you know, when momentum is going in a direction, I appreciate that the city's been there for 2 years with 10. Because I think you were right. It was a little tenuous, but it isn't anymore. They've learned from their challenges.
They've turned it around.
They've made great progress. And now we need to tell everybody else that this is a phenomenal event. You know, we worked it out. We did like a dry run.
But at the same time, I'm not sure the attendance was that much higher. It was just
so much smoother
this time around.
Now it can be
but
better.
But I think at this point we need to keep going forward. Just
right.
kind of saying,
I mean,
okay,
give
we need to
three
work
to 5
out.
Years.
Yeah, exactly. We've worked out the bugs. It's getting better. Now those people that hesitated to go this year because of the negativity next year will say, oh, okay.
Yeah,
and so
then
they'll come on board.
It'll be.
So I agree.
Okay.
I agree. It's a possibility.
Well, I'm, like I said, in for 5. But I don't know about these two. They might
have
10.
We're going to get you before you go.
Come and see us after the first of the year.
He wants his, he's looking for his contribution, so he's meeting with different other potential sponsors right now, and it would be great to be on that
We'll
banner.
Let him know. We'll let him know.
It'd be nice to have our logo on there and support of.
Yeah,
I think so.
I agree.
You know,
well, you guys are foundation.
Support lovers.
Where Johnny come late to the parties at
take,
5.
We'll take a little later.
At half and 2 years late. Didn't we give him something? You guys...
Barricades, staff time.
Yeah, there was a lot of event stuff I'm sure you were out there for.
I didn't get to go this year. I was there last year.
Yeah. Well, okay. So.
Anything else on your list?
Anything else on your list over there? Simon, do you have anything? Commissioner?
No, that covered the issues from last month.
Okay. I always have stuff. But
I'll hope to have that slide presentation thing for the off-ramps and stuff by our next meeting.
Okay.
Because that'll be included in the resolution ultimately and some documentation to be attached to the resolution.
The one that we're drawing up in the next few weeks, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get on that.
For their review and the council's review.
Kind of piggybacking on, I have one more thing on what the board, what the council did, what you did, Aaron, actually a couple of years ago with planning in conjunction with Laura Glover, having people in that are routine commercial private developer style stuff. The board is looking at implementing a what is it? A customer client service.
Do you want
to?
We kind of need some more stuff. Let me
but
grab
it's a
it real quick.
Client service
we'll
review, so that we can have an anonymous card or something that says, here's what happened. You know, I saw Joe Schmo down at the Public Works Department, and here's what happened. So it's either online, maybe a phone number that you can call and leave a message to that we can review. And that we would have an idea, you know, as liaison to public health or anywhere else, you can just, you hear what's going on, either positive or negative. But the challenge is sometimes all I hear are the negative stuff
right.
from planning. I don't hear the other people who are saying, you know what, that was great. It happened, you know, fast and it was efficient and they were thorough and helpful. And the public, the healthcare system seemed to have that. When I was down at Asante with my thumb, you know, they tell you, you know, if you had a great service or if you have questions or comments, please submit this card. Dan had this deal where when he went into the whatever you did, every person he talked to just signed their name on the deal. And, you know, it was really clear about who I talked to, the receptionist, I talked to this nurse, I talked to this doctor. And you can remember how it all went.
I'm just because you're right there.
Yeah, thinking about a way to get better feedback about the customer service that we're doing and then be able to do something hopefully about it with training or mm-hmm. what have you, processes, why are we doing this? But mm-hmm. you guys did that review a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Everything's a couple of years ago.
Yes, it seems that way.
Yeah. Never stopping to try to do better.
Right.
That's...
Well, and right now, Laura, the planning commission, the planners are having, is it one of the first Wednesday of every month mm-hmm. they have kind of like a
meeting with the contractors and developers
to try to get them to give feedback to try to improve. That came through our PAVE committee. It's the same
we
sort of ongoing.
We just implemented something between building planning and mm-hmm. public works with all potential or pending permits and applications mm-hmm. are meeting once a month to just
okay.
set out what are those goals, expectations for the projects moving forward. So I thought that might be. But I just felt if you guys were doing something,
yeah.
we should kind of dovetail
sure.
it. If we're doing something, you know, it'd
yeah.
be great that there were.
This is a very, very rough thing, but basically what it amounts to. I went to a doctor's office the other day.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I checked in, the lady gave me a card.
Okay.
And she signed Heidi. She's welcome to such and such and such and such. My name is Heidi. And then she gave me a card. She says, here, wherever you go in the building, I need you to take that. And so I said, okay. And the lady that came out to the waiting room says, would you come with me, please? And I said, yeah. And she said, I need your card, please. So I gave her the card. My name is Stephanie. Huh. And we went back in. I'm in the room. Lady came in, did the blood pressure. She said, I see your card, please. My name is Megan.
Wow. So there's accountability.
Doctor came in.
Yeah.
See your card, please. Dr. Brower. Everybody I came in contact with identified themselves and I had a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a jerk in the munch, I just took a little jerk sign, put it next to the jerk. But if I had exemplary service, I could do that too.
Yeah.
And basically, I kept the card. I still have it with me. I didn't turn it into anybody, but I knew then the fact that Heidi wrote her name on there, now Heidi knows that she better treat me nicer. I can write something if I want. We put a little comment there. This is just in the very small stages, but we want to do that for customer service. That any of our window people,
mm-hmm.
like, and it shouldn't probably, we've got three on here, but I think four. And if you get a list of 17 people, you got a problem. Why did I have 17 people on my card?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because I got kicked around like a tennis, like a soccer ball, and you're mm-hmm. hit with a tennis ball?
Yeah.
And that it
and
really
I think people will be reluctant to send somebody from planning to public works, like we hear.
Right.
And then
if
public
they
works
can
to planning.
Fix it.
If they knew their name was on a card.
Yeah.
It kind of puts the employee knowing that
accountable.
Well, rather than making them do that, why don't they just pick up the phone and call whoever it is down at Public Works? Hey, this is your issue, right? I should send somebody down? Yeah, yeah. That's perfect. That's exactly what. But remember, they need this before they leave the planning office.
Rather than
yeah, then they get down there and say, so where's your building permit? Where's your blah, blah, blah? It's like, I don't have that. Why didn't they tell me that before I left planning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who told you that? Megan. Well, Megan did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then you know
something of that.
But you
that
basically, I was nature. Impressed. I mean,
yeah.
All the way through, I didn't get one person that I wouldn't highly recommend again. And I just.
He's helped my mother.
Well, and you know, it just. Like I said, Heidi was just. She started out. Here you go. Take that with you, please. And every employee knew.
Yeah,
can I have the card, please? Because I do need to sign that. You need to know who you're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out well. Some twist of that.
We'll just keep on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terms about that.
Yep. So we're at an hour. You got anything else that we need to do?
No.
Right on.
Commissioner.
Good.
You good? Good. Thank you all for coming in.
Excited
thank
about
you very much for the
management.
Update.
Good. Moving forward
yes,
with that.
And I'll sit down with Sheriff. And we'll have a
we just need to make sure we get one of the original
stuff
back.
That's going to go away and we need to fill in that help fill in that void.
After you sign it.
When is the next
I think law enforcement.
We don't have one scheduled.
Yeah,
but if you'd like to, if you'd like to discuss that real quick, we can. We've got a schedule in front of us, so.
Yeah, because that's, I thought it was quarterly, but it's been a while.
Way to throw us off our hour schedule, though.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking.
No, no.
It's been a while since
we can
seen
schedule,
you.
We'll just schedule it.
Yeah, let's just
we'll schedule it at the office at a later date.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All set?
Yeah.
So we're adjourned at 12 o'clock. Thank you.